Welcome to Worker Movement, a podcast dedicated to the working class, a podcast dedicated to raising class consciousness. This podcast is for you, for us, for the worker.
On the last episode we did about COVID, we talked about this quest for herd immunity and whether we're going to reach it or not. We laid out some of the facts around the Johnson & Johnson vaccine, and we're now more informed and prepared to talk about them in more detail. So as I'm sure you know, on April 11th, the CDC effectively initiated a pause of the vaccine and cited the prevalence of rare blood clots in, I think, 6 cases that were seen in the U.S. This pause took effect on April 12th and has continued through at least April 21st. The CDC subboard, the ACIP, is set to evaluate new conditions or under what conditions the Johnson & Johnson shot will be made available to the general population. And part of the reason for this delay is citing a lack of available data. So we're going to talk about this absence of data because it is very observable.
Well, let's talk about data and just the constructs in which a vaccine provider would take data in. In normal everyday scientific studies, there is an obligation to take in data. And in any type of development time or development process, you're going to take in data. But does it serve the vaccine company like Johnson & Johnson, AstraZeneca, Moderna, Pfizer, whoever it is, to begin to assemble data above and beyond what's needed for FDA approval?
There's no profit motive.
There's no profit motive. And I was kind of tiptoeing at that one because really all the data we have right now is anecdotal. It's people saying things or stating stuff or I had this, or they're from the trials themselves. There is no real data because there's no incentive to actually take data. What I mean by that is there's no incentive to draw the blood of every 100th person or create a known list of side effects and have assays prepared to double check every one of those side effects or do a long enough study that says these type of people are at risk because we know things like if you have B blood, you have a higher risk of getting clots. If you're on birth control, you have a higher risk of getting clots. If you're 18 to 33 or some nonsensical thing like that, you have a higher risk of getting clots. But we do know that there's actual ways to measure this, but there's no incentive to measure it within this group of people. Because there is no incentive, which means now there is no data. Because there is no data, the regulators have no way of determining what is causing this or whether or not it's actually being caused by the vaccine, or if it's just happenstance.
A very basic example of this actually happened with Johnson & Johnson. They have issued roughly 7 million shots, and there's blood clotting. Johnson & Johnson didn't aggregate who the individual was, what their date of birth was, what their self-ascribed gender was, what their blood type was, you know, whether they have kids or not, who they live with, what their allergies are, what their past medical history is. They have collected absolutely none of that for this subset of 7 million people that have received the vaccine. And they didn't do it for a couple reasons, and you alluded to them. There's no profit motive. In some contexts, there is a profit motive because they do want to make sure that their shot is healthy enough to actually be on the market. And we're seeing that that apparently is not the case, or is it? We don't know. So keep that as an open question that we're going to come back to. The other thing is that from a Johnson & Johnson perspective, it's prohibitively expensive to collect all of this data. And they already did it in a trial, and based on the trial and sampling logic, they didn't observe anything. So why would they spend more money on something that is statistically unlikely to actually bear fruit? So it's a risk calculation that you have one of the massive vaccine providers taking a risk effectively that they cannot in any way, shape, or form actually mitigate to zero. So let's look at the data that the government collects, because logically it seems like the government should care about vaccine safety as regulators, right?
Yeah, you would think that this would be required to collect all this metadata. And we'll call it metadata because there is, in terms of machine learning or just classic analytics, I'll just call it classic analytics, it's not that complicated, classifications or clustering. And the only way to get to that level is to have this segmentation data available. And you want this data available because of things like unknown, like cause and effects. So we don't know if this one thing is caused by something else because that data isn't available. But if you had enough metadata, like you said earlier, 100-point questionnaire or family history or something along those lines, you can very easily begin to cluster some of this together. And why this is important is because you can quickly exclude people that aren't being affected by this, which means that Johnson & Johnson's vaccine would still be available for those that don't fall into the category of risk.
And a very basic classification would be something like, what is your gender? How old are you? Based on just a very nominal set of information, all of these individuals that got blood clots appear to be female. That's a classification. If you had more data and it was categorized based on gender, you might be able to make an assessment that says, wow, females are the only people that are incurring this risk, so it appears to be safe for males based on all the data we've collected. Therefore, the Johnson & Johnson shot should be given to males, and females should be aware that it causes rare blood clotting issues. And that's a medical statement that's informed, that is accurate and scientifically valid. But, and this is what we're going to talk about, the CDC doesn't have this data to make that classification. And that's why the pause was necessary.
Oh, and the CDC now has to scramble to get this information.
And that's the pause. What's so weird about this is that there haven't been additional people that have gotten the clots. The clots happened in March, but they didn't pause it until the 10th day of April. Nothing new happened. Like, why not pause it 10 days earlier? The reason they didn't pause it 10 days earlier is because they don't have any fucking data. The CDC runs a program called the VAERS, and it stands for the Vaccine Adverse Effects Reporting System. And this is a very simple three-table data model that any citizen can provide input into. And it applies to all vaccines, not just COVID vaccines, but all vaccines. And it has basic demographic data. I'm an individual. This is my date of birth. I'm this many years old. I received the vaccine on this date. And then it has another table that corresponds to this is the vaccine I received. And you can go through and select these. And in the US, it's Pfizer, Moderna, and Johnson & Johnson. It has information like lot number, manufacturing ID, stuff like that you generally don't care about. And then, so those are the first two tables. And then the third table is a kind of normalized list of symptoms that have occurred. And this basically allows you to provide, I think, up to 5 symptoms based on some text entry. So this data isn't heavily normalized, and it's text-based in some regards.
It's actually really ugly data. It would take you a ton of time to really understand what this data is. And as a result of it, perusing this data, it's actually scary how little data there is, but how many side effects there potentially are. Like something like hypertension. But there's no information about what the hypertension is. It's just stating hypertension. So you don't know whether or not it's infinitely large or if it's just a little bit high. Like, you don't know anything. You don't know any of the family history. You don't know anything about the person. Nothing. It's just, it caused hypertension. Who told you that? I don't know. The nurse might have.
Whoever filled out the report typed in a bunch of shit, and it showed up in the symptom column. This data is available for download. You can just go and download it. You have to enter a jumbled word puzzle to download it. It's a spreadsheet. It's a comma-separated value. It's roughly 40 megabytes. You literally just open it in a spreadsheet application. And it is absolutely wild because this is the data that the CDC is allegedly collecting about vaccine effects. And there is fucking nothing that is scientifically applicable here.
When we say nothing, I mean, it's again, scary how little data there really is. I mean, the place I got my shot collected more information about me, but didn't share with anybody because it's a private entity. That's the issue. Private entities are doing it for liability. They're not doing it because they're collecting data because they give a shit about you. They're doing it for liability. So let's say you are adversely affected by it. They can come back and say, listen, we collected all this data. Nothing stood out. We're not being affected by it. Bye.
And that's exactly what Johnson & Johnson did. They did a clinical trial. It was determined to be safe. Larger scales. There's apparently, allegedly, a clotting issue, which, again, we have no idea whether it's actually a thing or not because there's no actual data to prove this that's observable to us. And the CDC hasn't proved this either, which is why they paused for 10 days. I presume they're aggregating data in the background. Honestly, I don't know what the CDC is doing. But Johnson & Johnson can say, well, our vaccine was safe because we did a clinical trial. the FDA blessed it as an emergency use authorization. And this blood clotting issue is just, we didn't have any obligation to identify it. We don't know what we could have done differently. And more importantly, we don't have any liability or culpability in not identifying it. Other than our lost profits associated with the CDC shutting it down because nobody has any fucking vaccine data to make any large-scale scientific conclusions. And this applies to Moderna and Pfizer, too. Like, it's not like Johnson & Johnson is the only shot where there isn't aggregated data.
And it's not like Johnson & Johnson is the only group that has adverse side effects, either. Moderna and Pfizer also have side effects, but you don't know that because they're not running around screaming insanity into a microphone about it. Because the other interesting thing is, if you were to have an adverse reaction, and let's say you're over the age of 60 because you qualified for the first shot, you may just be dead or already on something that counteracts it. Having low platelet counts and a blood clot, but being on blood thinners may actually be how you solve it. So if you are elderly and already on blood thinners, it may have already solved itself. You may not have that because you have blood thinners, but also there may be a link to birth control. So potentially then elderly people are not going to be on birth control. So there's a bunch of underlying factors that may result from this that we don't know again because the data isn't there. We can't make a good informed decision on it. We know that it could potentially be a platelet response in some people where the adenovirus with the COVID-2, whatever the terminology is, may impact your platelets, which causes a massive die out, which then causes the clotting. It could be dehydration based. We have no idea because that data, again, isn't there.
And you're fighting against all these sample biases, which is what you just talked about, where how many people over the age of 65 have gotten the Johnson & Johnson shot? It's a lot fewer than Moderna and Pfizer, right? Because Moderna and Pfizer has existed longer and older populations were substantially those that were eligible earlier. It's just sample bias all the way down. So if you actually go in and parse this data, which we did, and we're using the data set from April 4th and 5th-ish, so we grabbed 2020 data and 2021 data.
And it's important to note that it only updates every Friday.
Which is like why it's a spreadsheet, just have it update live.
It doesn't matter. I mean, how many times are you replicating this data? Not that many times. It's no, things out of sync.
It's like going to a website and having it be closed, which the feds do all the time for dumb shit like tax IDs. Like, it was probably more work to only publish it on Friday than to just have it publish whatever is currently there. Whatever. So we're looking at the April 4th and 5th data set, and we looked at 2021 and 2020. And there's a column in the symptom table that says died.
Literally.
Associated with this adverse effect, death occurred to the subject of this vaccine. So we go through and we join all the tables up based on their IDs. We select out the COVID vaccines, Pfizer, Moderna, Johnson & Johnson, or Janssen. You check the dead box, and the people remaining are only associated with the Pfizer vaccine. Now, we want to be clear here. This could totally be a parsing error, but it seems to be right, and we didn't like peer review this in any rigorous fashion.
No. There's no incentive to. We're not incentivized to peer review this in any way at all.
Our sponsors were not cutting checks for this analysis. This was done purely for the listener's enjoyment.
Yeah.
But the point is that only Pfizer showed up. And let's assume that maybe I fucked up the parsing code. And there are Johnson & Johnson, there are Moderna, whatever. There are like over 1,000 deaths from adverse effects related to the Pfizer vaccine.
Yep.
Have you heard about this at all?
And how many were given out?
As of April 20-ish, there were 114 million Pfizer vaccines administered, according to the CDC, versus 2,200-ish VAERS dead records in the report from 2021. This does not include 2020 vaccine data. That ratio is about 1 in 50,000 people.
Which is a much greater significance than that of 1 in a million, which is what the Johnson & Johnson's at.
And we're not going and saying that every one of these adverse effects is directly caused by the vaccine. What we're saying, though, is that the vaccines are correlated with negative symptoms.
Yep.
But nobody has any fucking clue about this. So in just cursory looking through some of these Pfizer issues, you see symptoms, and some of them are as benign as, well, it appears that this person already had COVID. And they died a couple days after the vaccine because they had COVID and they were 92. Okay, that's probably not related to the vaccine. This person was ill before. maybe the vaccine shouldn't have even been administered because it appears as though they already had COVID. But then there's some other ones where you have generally healthy people, apparently, because, again, we don't have as much data in these symptoms as, like, it doesn't have weight, it doesn't have height. We don't know what their past history is. Do they have a medical device, like a pacemaker?
We don't know if they smoke.
Literally no idea. And it'll say stuff like, well, they had a headache for a couple days, and then they had a brain hemorrhage, they stroked out and died. And you're like, okay, well, that sounds bad. Well, was it associated with the vaccine? We have no idea. We have no idea.
There's no way to know.
And it just tells us that the CDC doesn't have data to assess the Johnson & Johnson clotting issue.
Yep.
That's our point in this. It's not to say that Pfizer kills people. It's to say that the CDC has data indicating that there are negative consequences for Pfizer, and they haven't made a claim that Pfizer is unhealthy. But at the same time, they don't have similar data for Johnson & Johnson or Janssen, but yet there's this clotting issue, so we have to shut down the vaccine. You were statistically more likely to die in the U.S. of a fucking mass shooting in the last week than you were of this Johnson & Johnson alleged clotting issue.
That's a good point. This last week has been pretty brutal. So how many deaths? List of mass shootings in the United States in 2021 is a Wikipedia page.
Of course it is.
And I don't know the deaths because there's a ton here. It looks like there were 148 people that died in mass shootings from January through March. There is no April data. So how many vaccines were given out?
Last episode, we said something like 120 million people have received at least one vaccine.
Like a greater percentage chance of dying in a mass shooting than getting a clot from Johnson & Johnson or any of the other vaccines.
And we're not making the argument that they shouldn't pause the Johnson & Johnson vaccine. We're saying, why are they applying such rigorous safety standards in the context of mass shootings, which have been ongoing in America for fucking ever? And nobody gives a shit.
The problem of all of this is that 102 people die per day in a car. We know that. That's like on average. All right? There's 5 million crashes per year. So the question then becomes, is it the fear of the unknown that's causing this? Or is there an actual safety standard that we need to apply? My point in all this, or my theory, is that this is a fear of the unknown. And this is a reactionary take on what's going on. It could be that this is a political fight in which you use a small amount of data, you weaponize it, and you attempt to get Moderna and Pfizer more money through the federal government. Or it could be the fact that this is a legitimate concern because scientists in the medical professions don't know how many of these are actually being caused that lead to these clotting that pass on their own, that don't actually cause a medical issue. And I think that's what the real big concern is for all of this, but they're not presenting it that way. They're presenting it that six people have died or gotten blood clots, but they're not presenting it in, we don't know how many people may have had the same symptoms but never actually progressed to having fatal blood clots or near fatal blood clots. It could be that every one of the vaccines, one in three people get a clot somewhere in their body from the platelets dying or whatever the response is, but you actually don't know the extent to which it leads to then brain death or some really severe case. And this is a problem with statistics. This is a problem not having metadata. There's no way to track it. There's no way to go down the rabbit hole, continuously down the rabbit hole and asking these why questions or what about or whatever, which ways you want to think about it, root cause analysis. Because you don't have the data to do it. You literally have top-level data, which means nothing.
The VAER's data set is completely insufficient to do this kind of statistical analysis. Completely insufficient. In terms of the data is not collected at a specific enough level to do the analysis. And there is too much fuzziness because it's hand-entered in text and none of it's regularized. So even if you wanted to go through and do some sort of pattern recognition-y thing, it would be an insane amount of work to try and accurately group things without relying on some sort of machine learning heuristic, which, again, is fuzzy to begin with. So you don't have a good data set to do this classification on. The other thing that the CDC doesn't know is what is the background rate for this blood clotting issue, this CVST, which is basically a blood clot in your sino or sinus veins and arteries in your brain. I don't know if it's veins or arteries. How often does that occur in the general population?
Nobody knows.
They literally had a slide during their last ACIP hearing where it was things we don't know, and it was what is the background rate? And there's some nuance because this CVST thing is occurring in the context of a low platelet count in the Johnson & Johnson, and that appears to be some more rare event. So they don't know what the background rate or how often this occurs in the general population without the presence of the vaccine is. And that makes it really hard to compare and do statistical analysis on. In the VAERS data set with Pfizer, you can look at it and go, oh, well, the cause of this death was cardiac arrest or something. And you can look at all the Pfizer data and go, okay, well, cardiac arrest occurs associated with somebody that had the Pfizer vaccine at this rate. And we know the background rate is this, so it doesn't appear to be anomalous. So the Pfizer vaccine probably didn't cause it. But because you don't know the background rate, you can't do that same analysis on the Johnson & Johnson vaccine.
You cannot run basic statistical process modeling on any of this. And when I say process modeling, it's literally quality control. I mean, it's the fundamentals of statistics, right? Whether or not it's a binomial distribution, whether distributions are, it doesn't matter. It's a population sampling biased problem. And you run this no matter if you're doing medical or if you're doing manufacturing. It's you have to understand what the rates are of occurrence in order for you to compare it to something. If not, you can't do anything. You can't do a student's test. You can't do anything on this because there's nothing there to do. Because there's no, it's a guess, and then it basically breaks. it's you can't do anything. And what's frustrating about all this is that there is a issue with low platelet counts. But again, does low platelets lead to the stroke or basically what this what it is, right? Blood clotting in the brain.
Yeah.
Does the low platelets, because it causes clotting everywhere, is it something that's also causing hematomas in other places? Again, they don't know because it's not studied. And the reason why it's not studied is there's no incentive to study this as a disease because there's no way to make money on it. And there's not enough people that are being injured or dying from it for them to put research behind it. Because we minimize the amount of investment in our healthcare industry for actually solving problems, that everything is basically Hunger Games for funding and what they should research on. That's why there's 75 million different organizations all asking for research money so they can pay private entities, like the Children's Miracle Network, they pay private entities to do research because nobody else does research because nobody gives a shit because it's not profitable.
For future episodes and to learn more about the worker movement, join us at workermovement.com.